Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
There are many unanswered questions about just how President Trump and North Korea's Kim Jong-un will meet, when they meet by May, as we heard in that surprise announcement yesterday. Where will the meeting occur? Will there be additional conditions? Kim Jong-un says he will freeze his missile testing, and South Korean officials said their exercises with the U.S. military exercises will go forward. But will the two men apologize for their past language? Trump called Kim Jong-un Little Rocket Man, and Kim called Trump a mentally deranged dotard.
And, of course, the announcement yesterday came on the same day that President Trump signed trade tariffs over the objections of allies and leaders of his own party. Let's bring in our Friday Politics Roundtable. Joining us today, Bloomberg White House correspondent Tolu Olorunipa and Fox News senior producer for Capitol Hill, Chad Pergram. Chad, let me start with you. The U.S. has tried for decades to rein in North Korea's nuclear program. No sitting U.S. president has ever met with the North Korean leader. What do you make of this? And is it risky for Trump?
It's certainly risky, but it kind of turns on its ear, you know, the traditional policy. This is something that this president is known for doing. You know, there's an old saw we hear a lot around Washington, D.C., that only Nixon could go to China. Well, maybe only Trump could go to North Korea. We don't actually know where this meeting will take place, but that is kind of the calling card of this administration, that they do things that are different. And here is someone, you know, President Trump, you know, threatening them with fire and fury, you know, some months ago. And now there's going to be a meeting. Just a couple of weeks ago, remember that Vice President Pence was criticized at the Olympics for not, you know, shaking hands with representatives of the North Korea delegation. That was not the de rigueur from other, you know, leaders and representatives from other countries there, but that was something that was singled out. And now you have President Trump. He's going to sit down with him. We'll see where this goes. It is inherently risky, mainly because, as you know, President Trump has a tendency to say that he's going to do things and then changes the position. We saw that with DACA. We've even seen that with firearms. And when you're dealing with potential foreign affairs and nuclear war, that's a bigger problem.
He could back out.
Well, it's risky, too, because Kim Jong-un could just say, look, I took the meeting and it didn't work and go on from there. Tolu, though, there are those, as we just heard, saying this could be Trump's, you know, magnificent Nixon in China moment. And South Korea seemed to indicate that it was his pressure and his language that got them to this point. Here's the South Korean National Security Advisor in that incredible announcement on the White House lawn last night.
I explained to President Trump that his leadership and his maximum pressure policy, together with international solidarity, brought us to this juncture.
So, Tolu, your thoughts. Is this his Nixon and China moment?
Well, the president definitely wanted to be seen in that light. He wants to be seen as sort of a straight deal maker who is doing what no other president could do before. And there is some risk in that, and that he may be eager to have a deal, eager to meet with the North Koreans and say that he's accomplished something. And it's not clear whether or not he's going to get anything in return. Right now, the North Koreans have put on the table some rhetorical objectives, including saying that they're willing to denuclearize, saying they're going to halt weapons tests. But it's not yet clear that that will actually lead to action. And that is going to be the clear test of whether or not this is a major significant foreign policy action by the president, or whether this is just sort of a PR move where both sides are trying to extract some sort of PR concessions from the other side, and we don't actually see action that can change the status quo, which is the U.S. and North Korea sort of on the path towards some sort of conflict militarily.
And don't forget how this kind of played out. It was the president just, you know, an hour or two after the meeting on tariffs, which was a major news story unto itself. He actually stuck his head into the briefing room and said that, you know, something was going to happen, you know, about the Korean Peninsula very soon. We've not seen the president show up in the briefing room in any capacity during his presidency. And the fact that he was already kind of trampling on this message about tariffs just an hour or two later and that this, you know, superseded it, you know, again, that's very reflective of how this administration operates.
Well, what about tariffs? That is a huge story as well. President Trump signing these steel and aluminum tariffs over the objections of some of his aides, Republican leaders and allies. On NPR's Morning Edition, the Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross defended the policy, saying cost to produce a can of soda would only go up a half of 1%.
You really think 0.5% on a can of soda is going to destroy people's living? I don't.
Sounds like they might have tariffs on cell phone connections there. But Tolu, what about these tariffs? Is President Trump going to face significant opposition from Republicans, or are they going to stand back and let him do it?
I think it will depend on sort of how other countries respond to these tariffs, whether or not this escalates into a trade war, whether or not the president offers an off-ramp for various other allies, including South Korea, to get out from under these tariffs. If the president does that and shows that sort of great flexibility, which he said he was going to show with our allies, then maybe he won't face the pressure and the heat from a Republican Congress to sort of rein him in. But if there is this signal that things are going to escalate and that our allies in the EU and South Korea and other countries are going to retaliate and slap tariffs on goods from Wisconsin and Kentucky and other politically sensitive states, then you might see Congress sort of whip itself into action and figure out a way to try to rein in the president on these tariffs, because not only is he putting these tariffs on, he's already sort of looking at other actions that he can take, targeting China and other countries in the weeks down the road. So Congress may try to nip this in the bud if it looks like we're headed towards a broader trade war.
Well, Chad Pergram, what about if it also doesn't provide the jobs that is behind this, that the president has promised the steel workers and the other workers so left behind by globalism? It was interesting, Chad. I was watching this morning, as I always do, flipping back and forth between CNN and your network, Fox News. And on CNN, the headline was, you know, the little graph that you're looking at said Trump tariff promise upsets allies. On Fox News, it was Trump tariff promise thrills steelworkers. And they had one on who was talking about this. But we have been hearing over and over that even if there is more steelwork here because of these tariffs, it will be automated. It will not be, you know, people returning to their jobs. That's the other what if. What if it doesn't have that intended hope of bringing back the steel industry?
And this is why Republicans on Capitol Hill are freaking out. Ben Sasse, Republican senator from Nebraska, he told me yesterday that this was a, quote, stupid policy. And what you have here is this weird break among Republicans. You know, Republicans were willing to go along with President Trump. They were reluctant to get on his bandwagon generally when he was running for president. That started to change, as it was obvious he might have a shot to win. And certainly once he did win, they said, all right, maybe we can do something on health care. They got about halfway there on health care. They said, maybe we can do something on taxes. They certainly got that done. And now you have the first break. You have to remember that something that President Trump has never morphed in his policy positions. He's morphed on firearms and health care and a number of other things. He has never morphed on trade. That's something that he said long, long ago. And where you might have this adverse reaction from Republicans on Capitol Hill is as they look toward the election. They don't want to screw up the economy because they passed the tax bill. And what you might see here, we have to fund the government by the 23rd of March. Again, there has been some casual talk that they might try to attach something to that bill. We don't know. We don't think so. But there has been talk about that. But where you might see a separate piece of legislation to try to truncate these tariffs is if Republicans start to see that this is going to impact their election. And this is a problem in some of those states where you have a lot of seats in play. Pennsylvania, which, again, is a state that is impacted by steel. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of seats in Pennsylvania which could be in play. And they say, wait a minute, if this is going to affect us adversely, we need to do something here to protect ourselves on Capitol Hill.
Yeah. Well, something that they haven't done anything about is any kind of gun legislation after Parkland, Florida. This week at a Senate hearing, Fred Gutenberg, the parent of a student killed there, spoke passionately about NRA videos he's seen, which call for a call to arms against gun rights opponents, saying their time is up. Let's listen.
I ask you a question. If this was put out by a terrorist organization, we would be raising the terror threat level in this country. Why are we letting this lobby have anything to do in D.C.? I don't understand it.
Tolu, Florida moved ahead this week on gun control legislation. Where is Congress?
Congress is still in debate mode, doing what it does best, sort of debating issues for a shorter period of time until the public moves on and then not doing anything. And we did see the president a couple of weeks ago say that he was going to do what no other president has been able to do and pass gun control legislation, but that is all sort of faded into the background as he's moved on to tariffs. And yesterday he had video game makers into the White House talking about maybe it's the video games that we need to focus on and not necessarily the guns. He met with the NRA, had dinner with them, and now it seems like they're singing from the same hymn book, and the president has sort of backed off, at least for now, on his calls to raise the age limit for guns and to have various gun control measures that could pass through the Congress. Right now, it seems like the House is not willing to go along with some of the things that senators want to do. So you have that sort of classic gridlock, which is making it difficult for anything to get done.
And you know, we see after each of these shootings that everybody says it's a seismic event. Well, it's not really seismic if Congress doesn't act here. You know, I was struck by a moment on Capitol Hill where Marco Rubio, the Republican senator from Florida, was introducing a bill to make it easier to impose restraining orders to take weapons away from people who may pose violence to themselves or others. And they said, well, why aren't you doing more? And he said, well, you do what you can. Well, the fact that they haven't done anything on this issue on Capitol Hill tells you a lot. They have done what they can. And what they did this week in the House of Representatives is they named 7 post offices. That's what they can agree on.
Yeah. That's Chad Pergram, Fox News senior producer for Capitol Hill. You're reminding us, though, both of you, what a week. What a week. We didn't even get to questions about the Russia investigation. We will pick it up on the other side. Chad, thank you. Tolu Olorunapa, Bloomberg White House correspondent. Thank you, Tolu, as well.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you.